Take this vaccine at your own risk. There really are people who believe in population control. If you haven't read my monograph on population control, go to my website.
Well, are we coming through? Are we coming
through? RadioLiberty.com.
Thank you.
Pull it down for nothing. Or if you get any of the items from Radio Liberty, we'll send you a free copy of your request, the Population Control Agenda. That's the Population Control Agenda. Let me suggest our 4-CD set on swine flu vaccine. Let me suggest my talk on planned population reduction. None dare call it genocide and population control. And there's a 4-tape set on population control, too. That's planned population reduction. None dare call it genocide. Population control and the 4-tape set on population control.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson introducing a new way to listen to GCN on your cell phone. If you own a smartphone like BlackBerry, iPhone, or Arnold G1, there's a free application called Flycast. Simply download, install, and within minutes, you'll be listening to your favorite GCN shows from the convenience of your phone. Go to GCNlive.com, download the Flycast application, and begin listening in a whole new way. The place to go to is GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com, application Flycast. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from cotton.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. Hi, Larry, how are you doing?
After that... That disclaimer about the station's views, that our views should be their views.
Point well taken, of course. I would have to say that most of the stations that carry my programming agree with it, otherwise they wouldn't have us on. But anyway, tell us what's going on back there in Washington, D.C. How are we doing as far as this effort to disarm the American people by the fascists?
Well, it's an ongoing effort. The Congress hasn't been that active for a number of days because happily they've been out of town. But we do have a quite interesting development with the folks that have gone to some of these town hall meetings, and they came bearing sidearms, carrying them in holsters, or in the case of the gentleman with his AR-15 rifle slung over his shoulder, muzzle to the ground, didn't even have his hand on the gun, let alone on the trigger. And this even unhappily had some pro-Second Amendment advocates saying, well, this wasn't really making a good statement, it was mixing the health care issue and the gun issue. Well, first of all, the health care issue directly involves the Second Amendment. It's a direct attack. We've talked about that in the past. Basically, invading our privacy means they will use those health records to deprive people of their right to keep and bear arms. And once they have monopoly control of medicine, either by the public option or by the mandates that individuals have this, that, or the other coverage, oh, you have a gun? Oh, well, you're going to have to pay a huge surtax because of that. And there's nothing in any of these measures that would prevent either one of those two ways of sticking it to gun owners from actually occurring. But the fact is, there were some folks that went to these town hall meetings, and they didn't have a sign up about health care socialized medicine equals gun control. Now, that would have been my preference, because that would have gotten sort of two for the price of one. But what they were doing, first of all, was perfectly constitutional. It was perfectly legal. The two states that they did this in happened to be among the many where you can carry a firearm openly without even a permit of any kind. And when they did it, they were part of a movement that's been going on, as long as I'm aware, for at least about 3 years, where gun owners have come to the conclusion that if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. If we don't use our right to carry, and carry it in such a way that people realize that there are people, fellow citizens, carrying guns, then we're just going to get so enamored with guns shouldn't be here, they shouldn't be there, that, you know, we're not going to have the right anymore.
Well, what happened when the people went into the meetings? What happened to the fellow with the AR-15?
Well, actually, nothing happened.
All right, fine. But I mean, he made a statement there, and I hope the congressman got the message that we want the right to keep and bear arms, and law-abiding citizens should have that right. And well, let's hope the congressman will vote properly on gun control measures. We'll be back in just a moment here with Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and he's bringing us up to date on what's going on in Washington, D.C. as far as gun issues. Now, for our listeners out there, there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. They want a dictatorship in the world. They're globalists. They go along with this whole idea of intentionally transferring our wealth and our manufacturing and our jobs overseas. But they fear the American people. They want to take away their right to have weapons, because that's how you impose a tyranny. All tyrants want to take away the weapons, and all this talk about being so concerned about, guns cause problems, you know, guns kill people. But let me remember, one of the biggest advocates of gun control in the United States Senate is Dianne Feinstein, who, when she was the mayor of San Francisco, had a permit to carry a gun. She gives hypocrisy a bad name. Go right ahead, Larry.
Well, it got all the more interesting because these two episodes occurred at some distance from, not at the actual venue where President Obama was speaking, but a block or two away, whatever. And so that gave added clucking sounds to what had been done by these folks. And yet when they were interviewed, they made it very plain that they were doing it as an exercise of their right. And what I point out to a number of talk shows is the fact that what they were doing is a way of educating their fellow Americans that we do have this right, and that when citizens exercise it, it doesn't cause anything bad to happen. There's no more problem with a gun in a holster when a citizen has it in his holster than when a police officer has the gun in his holster. And I think it's been very helpful, and yet we were finding out that people were saying, well, not when it's in the vicinity of the president and the delegate from the District of Columbia, the non-voting member of the House of Representatives, Eleanor Holmes Norton, was saying, well, we need legislation to make it illegal to have a gun within the vicinity of the president. Really? And criminals are going to obey that one, unlike all the other laws. And tell me, what is the definition of the vicinity? She hasn't provided that yet either. So here's one of the things that seems so strange. The Secret Service is tasked with protecting the president. That's all they are supposed to be doing. If something were to happen...
Hold that thought, Mary. Larry, sure. We'll be right back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we're very proud talking about the people who've carried weapons, openly. And certainly somebody had a gun a couple of blocks away from the President of the United States. Why, the Secret Service would certainly accost them. But, Larry, you were just saying the purpose of the Secret Service is to protect the President of the United States. So pick up the thought there.
And only protect the President of the United States. So if there were something happening in the back of the auditorium, my guess is maybe one or two of them would fix on what's happening in the back of the auditorium, but the real action would be get the president out of there as quickly as possible. They're not going to be concerned about the people in the auditorium, let alone where these fellows were carrying guns a couple of blocks away. And so the impression that I get from listening to the critics is it's okay if something happens to somebody in the crowd, they're just a bunch of chopped liver. I've been making the point that I was at a conference in Arizona probably a little over 10 years ago, and the governor was to speak at the conference. He was going to be the lunchtime speaker. It was at a hotel. We were in a ballroom. People were milling around just before the noon hour, waiting for that to get underway, for the lunch to be served and the governor to speak. As we were milling around, saw a couple of heads, obviously security guys. They're the only people that have electronics growing out of their ear. And they looked around the room, and they couldn't have missed the at least a dozen or so fellows that were there openly carrying firearms in that ballroom. They put their heads back on the other side of that service door, and a few seconds later came out with the governor. Obviously, they didn't have any problem with proper gun control. Those guns were in their holsters, no problem. They are used to that, and they didn't think there was any big deal. And obviously, while they had the same kind of assignment that the Secret Service has, they didn't find any conflict whatsoever with carrying out their function. And one of the things that struck me as a real irony is the when the matter was brought up to Mr. Gibbs, the I think rather hapless spokesman for the president, the press secretary, he said, no, we didn't have any problem with that. No laws were being broken. The Secret Service had everything on the I was thinking the most anti-gun president in the history of this country says he doesn't have any problem, and yet there are pro-gun spokesmen saying, oh, we got a real problem with this. Anyway, I was debating this on a talk show with Paul Helmke, who's the head of the Brady campaign, prevent gun violence, and he was making the point that, well, you know, all these guns are just going to end up in the wrong hands, and what we need are gun control laws to keep guns out of the wrong hands, and look what happened in Germany. The SS got all those guns, and it didn't help the Poles any. The Poles were invaded and run over, and I wasn't quite sure what his logic was, because when I got a chance to speak, I said, well, I'm glad you brought up Nazi Germany, because I tell you what, that law that the German Nazis, the German Socialist Workers' Party, to use their full name, the law that they were using, it has become the basis for our federal gun control laws, and it certainly did not keep the Nazis from getting all the guns they wanted, but they did disarm their victims with it. And you bring up Poland, all the neighbors around Germany, except one country, were invaded. The country that wasn't invaded was Switzerland. The country where it's been said that they don't have an army, Switzerland is an army. They're all armed. And the German general staff tried to figure out how they were going to invade Switzerland. Best they could come up with was a plan that would have brought victory, but they would have lost their army in doing it. So obviously, Hitler decided that wasn't what he could afford to do. So the one country in Europe that didn't fold like a chair like a folding chair, was the one country that was armed, the one country that had a tradition that at least at that time was probably even in practice better than that of the United States. So it seems to me, when we hear folks arguing that, well, I don't think it's right to have a gun around where the president is. Oh, yeah, that's sort of the same argument we've heard. It's not good to have guns around children, so we ought to ban them in schools, and we shouldn't have guns in churches, and we shouldn't have guns in fill-in-the-blank. Well, you know, that logic really is the logic of we just shouldn't have guns anywhere. And that's really what this whole debate underscores and has revealed, that once again it's being used, this these couple of public events being used as a rather poor reason to argue again for gun control, that, well, this is certainly one place where guns don't belong. Well, excuse me, I think guns really belong there, and frankly, if the president is known to be in a place or even a member of Congress, it's a pretty good idea to have armed citizens. I would personally prefer I think most people that have guns and carry prefer to do it concealed, but I understand why the fellows are carrying it openly, because they are making a needed point, and God bless them for doing that. But the point is the same, that it's a good thing for an armed citizenry to be there. Now, a couple other points that get lost in the, well, guns don't belong there argument. First of all, who is saying that to whom? Are we going to have the government tell the boss, the people, we the people who created this government, we the people, the Constitution starts out new here by ordained and established, that the employee is going to tell the boss that you're not going to have a gun here or there or anywhere? I don't think so. I think that's an overthrow of our government. I think that's a treasonous call. That's just an amazing thing. And at another level, beyond the Constitution, whether we had a Second Amendment or not, the immorality of telling people, you don't have a right to defend yourself with a gun. We're going to do it for you. And, oh, by the way, if we screw up, you can't sue us. That's the plan that we're being told should be in place, at least when the president's around, or at least when children are around, or whenever. I don't buy it.
Well, I certainly agree with you. And you know, if you want to say guns kill people, then why don't we take the guns away from the police? Once in a while, they pull a gun out and shoot somebody inadvertently or accidentally. But you see, the thing is that guns protect lives. And certainly if there were an act of violence against the president, if there were armed citizens there, they could protect the president as well. But the whole idea is they really want to disarm the public because they do want a dictatorship. We are installing dictators all throughout the world. I mean, who is funding Mugabe over there in Zimbabwe? The American State Department's been funding him since 1980 under the guise of humanitarian care. We keep funding the dictator in North Korea, this terrible guy under, well, we have to help humanitarian, provide humanitarian
aid.
And
the only thing that humanitarian aid does is end up in the bank account of the two despots that you're talking about,
right?
As you know.
I know.
It doesn't do the people a whit of good. If we wanted to do the people good, we'd have the money go in privately, and if the money can't get in that way, well, then that should tell us what kind of government we're dealing with.
Right, but we cannot depend upon the government to bring freedom in our country or any place throughout the world. So where do we stand as far as legislation is concerned, Larry? Are there any bills in the hopper we should be concerned about?
There are, but before we jump there, you got me going on these foreign dictators, and I wanted to just say something briefly about Honduras. As you know, I'm fluent in Spanish, and I've been reading Honduran newspapers, and I am absolutely sick to my stomach reading these accounts from left-wing sorts, mostly, that say that the Honduran government, that deposed Manuel Zelaya, who had been the president until he broke the law and violated the Constitution. By violating it the way he did, he was, in effect, signing his resignation. They've had one too many coups in Honduras. real banana republic style tanks in the street with a colonel taking over. And their constitution in Article 238 says that if the president does anything to extend his one and only term in office, he's out of there. And so when Zelaya was in the process of doing that, with ballots printed in Venezuela, with Acorn types brought in illegally with phony passports from Venezuela, 800 to 1,000 of these guys, when he had one of his thugs pulling out millions of dollars from a bank to fund the illegal referendum, the prosecutor, the attorney general, if you will, of the country, filed charges at the Supreme Court against Zelaya, and they ruled, yup, he's out of there. And so when he obviously wasn't going to go peacefully, the court asked the Congress to get the military to remove him, and once that was done, the man who constitutionally was supposed to take over did take over, now President Micheletti. We have been calling that a coup. Now, the only coup has been in the use of language. They didn't have a military coup at all in Honduras. They had a very orderly constitutional continuation of the country's government, and when something had to be done, it was done in a proper way. And when we see our president, there's no dummy, supporting what was done by Zelaya and opposing the constitution.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Larry, go right ahead. You were talking about how certainly our State Department, our president, is backing Zelaya, who is a communist, who is backed by Hugo Chavez, who is backed by Fidel Castro. Why in heaven's name is the American State Department and the American president backing the same people that Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez are asking? But nobody in America knows that.
To ask the question, and especially the way you did, connecting those dots, is really to answer the question. You've got a president, Obama, you've got a Secretary of State, Clinton, who were both Marxists, who both have studied Saul Alinsky, which is basically, he's deceased now, but he was an advocate of how to have communists take over by wearing a suit rather than coming up from below as a worker. And so this was happening. This Alinsky approach was taking place in Honduras, and obviously it seems to me this is just one more indication, as if we needed any more, how dangerous a presidency we are living under right now. And gun owners would only ignore this at their peril. Now, to get back to your question about legislation in the hopper, the biggest immediate threat is the socialized medical threat that we are battling, and so far we're winning, but we have not won yet. And so anybody that has already contacted a member of Congress about socialized medicine, please do it again. Keep doing it, telling them, what right do you have to tell me what kind of insurance I can have and what terms my insurance will have? Where do you find that in the Constitution? Because if they can do that to people's insurance, don't you suppose they're going to want to do the same thing to guns, especially when we have found exactly how they will do it, as I pointed out at the beginning of the show, how they will use socialized medicine to stick it hard to gun owners. So there's the big threat. But there are others. If they pull off this attack on medicine, then they're going to start running, not walking, to the next parts of their agenda. And I would say that one of them that kind of has them really salivating is this miserable excuse of a human being, Frank Lautenberg, who only could be senator because of the corruption that you find in the state of New Jersey. Torricelli was the senator running for re-election. And after he had won the primary, it became obvious to the Democrat Party that he wasn't going to be able to get elected or reelected. And so they got him to step down after the deadline for putting somebody on the ballot. And they put Frank Lautenberg on the ballot, who is a real piece of work. I debated him one night on Hannity and Holmes when that was the name of the show. And at the end of the show, we were both asked to, well, come on, sum up and present what you think ought to be the position that would be most designed to kind of find out where we can be. And Lautenberg jumped in and says, well, I just can't understand why the gun lobby doesn't want to meet us halfway in the middle with licensing of gun owners and registration of guns. By the way, that's H.R. 45, and it's also the CFTA treaty now before the Senate that Barack Obama has been supporting.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Thanks.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Larry was simply talking about where he debated a fellow named Frank Lautenberger. He's the senator from New Jersey, and they were on Hannity and Combs. And, of course, as they got to the end of the program, why they were both asked, both Larry Pratt and the senator, how would you sum things up? And, of course, Lautenberger's remark was, well, I don't know why the gun owners of America won't certainly meet us halfway and license gun owners and license guns. So pick up the story there.
Well, when I finally had a chance to get my little, actually, probably wasn't even 30 seconds, I said, I am amazed that Senator Lautenberg would advocate legislation that was the very legislation laws used by the Nazis to disarm the Jews and then commit genocide against Jews and a lot of other people in Nazi Germany. I just can't. Well, he couldn't even speak. He was so outraged that somebody would call his game and expose him for what he is. He's a Nazi. I don't care if he is Jewish. The guy was advocating the Nazi law that was put on our books, thanks to the Senator Dodd's father, then Senator Thomas Dodd, from Connecticut, back in 1968. So, the shoe fits where. Man, was he upset. Well, he's back. And now his trick is, Bill, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the number. If I gave it, I'd probably be wrong. I just don't do numbers very well. But it's a measure to take away the guns and deny the ability to get a gun for anybody who is on the terrorist watch list. How do you get on the terrorist watch list? Well, nobody really knows. What we do know generally is that any cop, federal, state, or local, apparently can call up the Department of Homeland Insecurity and say, I think that so-and-so ought to have his name on the list. Well, that is so subject to abuse that Ted Kennedy had his name on the list. He probably should have had his name on a list of dangerous drivers, obviously. Mary Jo Kopechne would be Exhibit A in that situation. But the fact of the matter is, the only difference between that happening to one of us and to Senator Kennedy was that he was able to call the head of the Department of Homeland Insecurity and say, get my name off of there. And, of course, they naturally obliged the guy that had cut off their money. You and I wouldn't know who to call. There's no procedure whatsoever. Not that there really should be, because this shouldn't be happening anyway. But there's no way that you can work through getting your name off the list. You can't certainly take them to court, which is what they should do if they want to get your guns. They should take you to court and convict you of something that, since the founders, would have kept you from having a gun, some kind of felony. And in the founders' view, that means you're no longer part of we the people. Okay, fine. But we're not talking about trials. We're not talking about due process. We're not talking about the burden of proof being on the government. We're just talking about a phone call that says, hey, I think so-and-so ought to have his name on the list. Okay, yeah, what's the name and Social Security number? Fine, got it. Okay, he's on. That's incredible. And Lautenberg thinks that's a cool way to disarm however hundreds of thousands of people are already on the list. And you can just imagine, you can just see them salivate if they had this on the books, how many more of us would get our names on the list?
Well, I think we have a lot of senators who hate America, who don't believe in the Constitution, even though they've sworn to uphold it. And they are there to undermine the very fabric of our freedom and our society. And I fear that, that Senator Lautenberg is in that category.
By the way, we're talking about some of these threats, and sometimes they come up rather quickly, unforeseen, really, an amendment that somebody's trying to put on in an appropriation bill or something like that. I would hope that listeners would want to be prepared for these sneak attacks, and the best radar that I can recommend to you is that we have at our email alerts that we send out when something is happening. Usually it's once or twice a week. We'll send out word about what they're doing on Capitol Hill and what you can do about it, and we'll put a sample email into the alert you get, so it's really very easy and very quick to put that heat on them. And as you and I have discussed in the past, probably the best summary of putting the heat on them and does it work or not is what old Senator Dirksen was so fond of saying, that when I feel the heat, I see the light. And it doesn't always work, but it certainly can, and it has. And invite people to go to gunowners.org and get a free subscription to those alerts.
And let me point out that we've known Larry for a long period of time. One of the few ministries back there, one of the few organizations I trust without reservation, so certainly get on the list, understand what's going on, and help contribute to saving America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And Larry, exactly how do you think that the health care bill really will affect gun owners? Are there any specific stipulations in there? You know, like, you know, doctors asking their children if anybody has a gun there, and then putting that in the medical records? Or what is specifically about the health care bill that causes you alarm? I mean, I'm alarmed about it just because I believe it's going to be used to ration access to health care and kill the elderly because there are too many of them. But how is this going to influence the gun owners?
Well, you did put your finger on one of the real big concerns, which has already been a problem, and until a couple of laws recently passed, it was mostly a localized problem that wasn't likely to reach out and grab somebody's gun. But especially pediatricians have this immoral, unethical view, at least their association does, and I can't say all pediatricians, but I do know that pediatricians have asked, Johnny, does your daddy have guns? Oh, well, Johnny, where does your daddy keep those guns? And so this kind of boundary invasion, where they have no business going, has nothing to do with medicine or diagnosis. They'll claim, of course, it does. And if they really believe that, flee that doctor immediately. Because if he thinks a piece of metal is some kind of contagious disease, you better find another doctor. This guy's Looney Tunes. But this, as you say, it's been going on. And it's now spread to insurance companies. This is getting closer to really having an impact on people. Insurance companies have these, we'd like to know better who you are so we can better serve you. Please fill out the enclosed questionnaire. And one of the questions in the questionnaire, and some of these insurance companies in some of the states
Larry, you're going to hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Larry, who really knows more about the gun issues than anybody else I know. Our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But, Larry, before we go on, and I'd like you to go ahead and get out your webpage, how people can get in touch with your organization, and then if you want to get out your telephone number, go ahead.
Well, thanks, Dan. The website is gunowners.org, and as I was mentioning just a few minutes ago, that's where, among other things, all kinds of information. You can become a paid member of Gun Owners of America there. But most importantly, for anybody who hasn't already done so, you can go to gunowners.org and sign up for our legislative alerts that come out by email, and we'll make it so you can email your own members of Congress in a timely fashion on what's going on Capitol Hill. Now, if you can't get on the web and you can't go to gunowners.org, give us a call toll-free at 888-886-GUNS. That's 888-886 and then the letters G-U-N-S. That's really the contact information, those two things, gunowners.org and 888-886-GUNS.
And then, of course, get on their email alert so that you'll be in the cutting edge of what's going on, and that you can help them, because lots of times there'll be legislation coming up, and we need to be able to mount a massive email campaign or fax campaign or calling campaign on many of these issues, because, of course, this is how the congressmen know how you feel. And basically, the last few years, with the coordinated campaigns of a number of reliable ministries, why they've actually blocked some terrible legislation, and let's just hope we can continue doing that. I will tell you that a lot of the congressmen are very concerned, especially after the town hall meetings. And if you look at, of course, at the rating, the public approval of Congress, it's up to 12%. 12% of the American public think Congress is doing a satisfactory or good job. Well, that's the lowest I think I've ever seen it. And so basically, they will listen. They will listen because
it makes you wonder, who are these people among the 12%? What's their problem? Those are probably all the government employees that are licking their chops about how they're going to benefit from socialized medicine and socialism in general. But we digress.
Well, I
these insurance forms that have been going out from insurance companies is one of the several problems that we see right around the corner with socialized medicine. Right now, when they ask you about your guns, there's not necessarily anything that happens, not even necessarily an increase in your rate or a dropping of your policy. But once this information gets on their records, something has happened already. The government stimulus bill included $20 billion to set up a uniform database or databases of medical records around the country. Insurance companies, doctors, other providers, you name it. That means that your answers to Johnny, where does Daddy have any guns, or the answer to the insurance company questionnaire about do you have and how many guns do you have and so forth and so on, that's all going to end up on a centralized computer if, even without socialized medicine being enacted. Where socialized medicine adds the last brick in the wall that you're not going to be able to climb over is right now you can avoid this nonsense if you just simply pay cash, which actually costs less than what insurance companies frequently pay to providers and physicians and so forth. You can work out your own prices. The Amish do this, and it's a very smart way to go. They don't have any insurance. They just go into their local hospitals and say, we don't have insurance. What are you going to charge us for your services? And they work out a deal. And it works out very well. Well, others can do the same thing now. We're free to do that. We will not be free to do that. Thus, there will be no escape. All records, all medical events are going to be recorded and centralized. If not on one database, don't get me wrong, but centralized in the sense that they will have to be entered into databases that are accessible by, well, and the thing that gets the gun owners all in an uproar, likely, accessible to the FBI. So that when they're doing a background check and they find that you answered a questionnaire on Blue Cross from the state of Texas back in 2008, saying, yeah, I have a couple of guns at home, Kathleen Sebelius, now Secretary of HHS, Health and Human Services, is given almost no limits on what she can do and no specific direction in any of these socialized medical bills that are being put forth. She would be absolutely free to say, you must pay a $7,000 surtax on your insurance. $7,000 because that's the cost of many individual policies if you were to buy them yourself, or even higher. The sky would be the limit. She could do whatever she wanted. And so this is something that absolutely has to be stopped, or else we will have handed them away through the back door to pretty much come after every gun that every gun owner in the country has. Earlier, there had been a run on gun owners, particularly veterans, by taking away their due process protections. And so if they had a record, particularly at the Veterans Administration, where it was already going away, even before a law was passed in 2007, that said that, these records now must be computerized, and if they show that the person might be a danger to self or others, no gun rights. Can't own guns. Can't buy guns. Can't get a concealed carry permit. Well, that's about as un-American as it could be, because the burden of proof has been shifted to the individual rather and taken away from the government. And if you've had any dealings in court, you know that is a huge factor. And our forefathers didn't arrive at the need for the burden of proof being on the government by accident. They had been the victims of a crown that made them prove their innocence instead of the crown proving their guilt. Huge difference in that, and among other things as well. The veteran has no right to a trial. He has no ability to confront his accuser. He has no ability to bring in his own expert witnesses. In other words, it's a thoroughly communist system of justice that has been enacted in 2007, signed by President Bush. And you will not be able to escape from that system with socialized medicine.
And, of course, one of my concerns is that, you know, if a veteran has been on Prozac, you know, why, of course, that would certainly qualify, wouldn't it, Larry? If you've been on Prozac or other psychotropic medicines, you can't own a gun?
Absolutely would be used in that fashion. And I could even see it, say somebody's spouse dies, they go to get some happy pills for a week or two or a month or whatever, and maybe even spend a week in the mental ward of the local hospital. That would be a kind of a no-brainer also. Well, you can't have any guns on you. You were really depressed. We had to give you the little pink pill. President Obama's little pink pill. No, thanks. That's just, you know, prove it in court. If somebody really is a danger, prove it!
Well, let's go to Bob, who's calling from Spokane. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Larry, are you there?
That's Bob, Spokane.
All right, fine. Go ahead, Bob. You have a question? Once again, our number is 1-888.
I'd just like to thank Larry for all his efforts. He's a great patriot. You know what Mao said about ruling an armed populace? How did that go, Larry?
Power, political power flows from the barrel of a gun.
And also the best bumper sticker. Right.
Well, as soon as he had political power, he grabbed all the guns.
Exactly. And, of course, the best bumper sticker is when guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns.
How about that?
Well, I think
even if they wear a badge, doesn't it?
But basically, that they've already got to the liberals, and they put up a bumper sticker to counter that. When in-laws have outlaws have in-laws, then only in-laws will have outlaws. No, in-laws have outlaws. Well, anyway, something like that.
I'm glad you're having so much trouble remembering it, and that tells me that they probably haven't come up with a
right.
good answer yet.
Yeah, sure. I really enjoy listening to you, Alex Jones. He woke me up about 9/11 being a complete inside job. And I understand that Chuck and Larry Bates still don't think that 9/11 was an inside job. I guess they have not seen Loose Change Second Edition or even know anything about
it. Well, I think they probably have never watched Building 7 come down. All you have to do is watch Building 7 come down, and you know it was a controlled demolition. That and the fact that 1,100 bodies were vaporized, and if the buildings came down, as we've been told, simply by pancaking, then why did all the cement vaporize and create those great clouds of dust? And why did all the furniture vaporize and the telephone
exactly.
vaporize? And
can
so
you talk to Chuck and right. Larry?
If an ally is fighting the socialists and he doesn't agree with us on even something like that, so what? The fact of the matter is, if we're fighting the socialists, that's what needs to be done. These guys, doesn't matter who they are, and as long as they see that Bush was just as much a socialist as the incumbent of the White House now, well, that's really the bottom line, and that's where the fight is.
Is Chuck and Larry, are they moderate? They really don't believe in 9/11, do they, Larry? Have you talked to them about it?
Yeah, they've looked into it. They don't think that there's a substantial argument. But I don't know that that's something that is that important in their thinking, and certainly in my own thinking. Looking back, we don't need anything like that to indict the big government mania that we were dealing with under Bush, that we're dealing with now under Obama. There are so many things that people do agree on about the uncontrolled spending, the growth of the bureaucracy, and all kinds of things like that. That's, as long as we're heading in the same direction, somebody's marching a little out of step with everybody else. Okay.
Well, you have to wake up to people that the crime of the century, they lied to us about all that. How many good men and women have died? Look, from all the wars have been through, the Federal Reserve profits.
I was going to mention, look at how they've been lying about our monetary system and the Federal Reserve, and they've been doing that for the better part of a century, 70, 80, 90 years now. So
Almost 100.
So if they've been getting away with a lie like that, maybe we ought to at least it seems like we got a majority of the Congress even that wants to take a look at what the Fed is doing. Okay, let's hit them where we can mass our forces.
Okay, but Bob, one thing is, sometimes it's very difficult for people to change their worldview. It took me almost a year and a half before I was finally willing to admit that what happened on September 11th was an inside job. It takes a long time. Don't get angry with people who disagree with this. Just ask them a few questions, and eventually, if they will just sit down and watch Building 7 come down, there's no other logical explanation. Hey, we got to go, but thanks so much for calling.
God bless America.
And you too. Bye-bye. Well, let's go. Certainly you know about the somebody named Mick in New Mexico wants to know about bipolar gun owners. Do you know anything about bipolar gun owners?
Well, it would be one of those diagnoses that is very likely to end up being used to deny people their right to keep and bear arms. And, again, I would say, okay, if there's really a problem there, take them to court. Get them convicted. Otherwise, don't treat them any differently from the person that has had a bypass operation or something like that.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you've got a question, a comment, why, we'd love to hear from you. Larry Pratt is our guest, and hopefully why he's going to be with us regularly at the same time every month. And Larry, of course, is on the front lines back there in Washington, D.C. Should they trying to counter these people who are constantly trying to get legislation through under one guise or another just to simply take away a few gun rights? Now, fortunately, while we still have at least some ability to keep and bear arms in this country, and a growing number of states are passing the right to carry laws, how are we doing as far as the states are concerned, Larry?
That's one of the more encouraging arenas where the fight is being conducted. And in addition to these carry laws, making it so that bureaucrats, sheriffs, judges, whoever, no longer have discretion over, well, I don't think you really need a gun. You haven't proven it to me. So we've at least gotten a step forward in saying, well, if somebody can pass a background check, then you can't deny them the permit. Now, ultimately, Gun Owners of America has always said, even while supporting some of these, not all, some of these concealed carry laws, we're not finished until we get to where they are now in Vermont and in Alaska, where you can carry without any government permission, any government involvement whatsoever. When any of us go to Vermont, be it, you know, when we're at the airport, when we're leaving the airport and get our luggage out, and we can put a gun that we might have had in our luggage into our purse, our pocket, our holster. It can be concealed. It can be open in those two states, I believe. It doesn't matter. You can carry, no problem, not the government's business. And they, by the way, have very enviable crime rates to boot. Now, this is something that is kind of worked its way, and we keep pushing in different states where we have legislators who are willing to make a fight over trying to get a Vermont-style piece of legislation. But I believe we're going to see a lot of energy come January, February, when the state legislatures, most of them, reconvene. We're going to see a big push and maybe success in half a dozen or so more states to follow along with what's already on the law, on the books in Montana and in Tennessee, where the law says if a gun's made here and identified as such and stays in our state, then no federal gun laws apply.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is that there is really so much interest in the states about the 10th Amendment. And I think people are beginning to even talk about the Constitution and asking their elected representatives about the Constitution. And I think we're seeing a rebirth of patriotism and concern about the power of government all across America. So I'm guardedly optimistic after being at it for 47 years. Our guest has been Larry Pratt, and we'll be back in just a moment. You hang on there, Larry. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Larry, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up our program for us.
Well, very good. Let me just say that these Firearms Freedoms Acts are going to be taken to court very soon, very quickly. My guess is the federal courts are going to rule against the Constitution, against these acts, which are, as you were pointing out, 10th Amendment in their spirit. They talk guns, but they really come under the 10th Amendment as much or more than the Second Amendment. And the issue is then going to move to, are the states serious? If the states are serious, are there sheriffs where, say, the manufacturing and the selling of these guns is occurring that will protect those unlicensed manufacturers, those unlicensed sellers, those buyers who didn't go through a background check? You know, private sales are legal. Even under federal law, if the state law permits it, well, obviously, Montana and Tennessee have said, you betcha they're legal. All right, what's going to happen? It's going to come down to what a local sheriff is willing to do. And I think we're going to find that there will be some sheriffs, and hopefully many states joining in on this will make it their job all the easier, really. Sheriffs willing to put federal agents in jail if they don't get out of that gun shop, if they don't get out of that factory.
Well, this has to be our hope, and I think what we need is to make people aware of the fact that there really are people who have sworn to uphold the Constitution, who hate America, who want to bring about a world government, want to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and want, of course, to disarm our people. Once you understand that, so much of what's going on today makes sense. Otherwise, you just sort of scratch your head and say, gee, why are we sending all of our manufacturing and jobs overseas? But once people point out what it's about, I think they begin to see it. What do you think?
I believe that is happening, as you said, and I share your guarded optimism. When you hear members of the public at town hall meetings saying to their representatives and senators, sit down and listen to us, we're the boss. When you get soldiers saying, I kept my oath of office in Iraq with my rifle, are you willing to keep your oath of office? Where do you find the authority in the Constitution to tell me what kind of insurance I can have? What those kinds of questions are being asked now across the country, I think that bodes very well. I think the American people are kind of taking, maybe for the first time.
Well, Larry, we're out of time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed our program with Larry Pratt, but understand that freedom is never free, and once lost, will never be regained. There really are people out there who hate America. They belong to what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the DVD, you need to, and you can see it free at our website at radioliberty.com. But these people are globalists. They do not believe in the Constitution. They want to destroy it. They want to ship our jobs and our wealth and our manufacturing overseas. In fact, you'll be pleased to know that General Motors is opening a new plant, a brand new plant. It's going to hire, you know, thousands of workers over in communist China. And they're using the $50 billion that we sent them. Oh, they're only using $250 million. I think it's $273 million over there in China to put in this factory. But they've already got 8 factories over there. I mean, they're expanding, I think, 30 or 40% a year over in China. The whole idea is to make lots of jobs in communist China and in Mexico and Brazil and India and in Russia with American taxpayer dollars. And then General Motors doesn't have to pay any taxes over there, and then they can pay back the money the government gave them. Well, I don't think they're ever going to do that, but the taxpayer's got to be on the hook for it. The whole thrust of everything going on today is this one world government. And if you haven't read the Earth Charter, you need to get it. You need to read point 10A. And if you don't have the Earth Charter and you haven't read it, while you're getting any of our items, we'll be glad, of course, to actually send you a free copy of the Earth Charter if you request it, along with, of course, the little pamphlet put out by the Luciferians on the spiritual hierarchy who rule the world. Well, right now, of course, we want to draw your attention to a couple of things that go along with the globalist agenda, because part of that is population control. They want to kill off most of the people in the world. If you've not heard my talk on planned population reduction, on Nundare, call it genocide, on population control, I haven't seen our 4-tape set on population control or read my population control agenda monograph. That's up on the internet, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy if you get into the other items. You need to get it, and you need to copy it, and then you need to get a copy of our 4-CD set on the swine flu vaccine, because this epidemic is the phoniest epidemic. Basically, as of the 26th of August, only 522 people had died in America. 80% of those had other serious illnesses. Less than 150 people have died of this dreaded disease in the United States. Less than 1,400 or 1,500 people throughout the entire world have died of this terrible dreaded disease. Why, we lose almost 3,000 people every day from malaria, which is preventable by the use of DDT. We lose almost 6,000 people every day throughout the world from AIDS, which is a preventable disease if you use standard effective public health approaches, which we've never been allowed to use here, even in the United States today. As a result, we've killed almost 500,000 people from AIDS, but most of them are black. And we've killed another million people, well over 1 million people infected, but most of them are black. And this is part of a black genocidal program. Understand that there really are people who have a different worldview. And that's why you need to get my talk on the forbidden secret, my talk on the financial Armageddon. Certainly you need to get the new DVD on the Trilateral Commission by Pat Wood. You need to understand vaccines. You need to understand how they are poisoning our children to the point where one in every nine children today has asthma in the United States. Certainly one of every...